Hello, and welcome to United Way Cares on KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. My name is Tracy Gurley-Tomaszewski, and I am the Executive Director for United Way Battlement to the Bells. United Way Battlement to the Bells' mission is to improve lives by mobilizing the caring power of communities throughout the Roaring Fork, Crystal, and Colorado River Valleys, from Battlement Mesa to Aspen, and to advance the common good for all, focusing on education, financial well-being, and health. We work to support local nonprofits through funding, and now with the United Way Battlement to the Bells AmeriCorps Vista Project. In support of this project, we are joining with the Western Slope Veterans Coalition to conduct the beer concessions at the Garfield County Fair and Rodeo July 31st through August 4th. We're looking for volunteers. To learn more, go to unitedwaybb.org. Information is also available on our Facebook page, or you can call United Way Battlement to the Bells at 970-625-8189. Today we will be talking with Christina Gare, the Executive Director with West Mountain Regional Health Alliance. Welcome, Christina.
Thanks, Tracy. It's good to be here. West Mountain Regional Health Alliance, our mission is to build an integrated healthcare system to achieve optimal health for all people who live in the West Mountain region. And that's why we're excited to work with United Way, because one of our common missions is around health for all.
And we've just kind of expanded our partnership, actually. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, Christina?
Sure. Starting in July, West Mountain Regional Health Alliance will have our own Vista, AmeriCorps Vista person who's going to help us build capacity around some data infrastructure, the Thriving Colorado dashboard specifically, and also help with capacity around grant writing and various aspects of the initiatives that we have going. I'm also proud to serve on the United Way Battlement to the Bells Board of Directors, where I get to have an opportunity to help numerous nonprofits in the Valley through the VISTA program and through the other initiatives that we do through United Way.
Yeah, you've nearly been with us for a year, right? Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about your service area and your history? What is West Mountain Regional Health Alliance?
That's a great question, and that's what I get asked a lot. The Alliance brings together a large cohort of organizations and individuals from health clinics, such as Mountain Family Health Centers, to behavioral health like Mind Springs Health, to all four area hospitals, to government social service providers, public health, as well as community organizations, all of whom are impacting health in various ways. Some of them may not look like health, but they're the folks who are doing social determinant of health work. And essentially what social determinants of health is, are those things that determine how well you're going to be able to actually get healthy. For example, going to the doctor is very important, and we really want people to do their wellness and preventative checkups, but that's only 20% of impact on your health. For everyone, for others, it's also based on those social determinants, and that's your economic viability, your housing, your food, your transportation, whether you're experiencing any violence, how your mental health, so your social isolation, and those types of things. And so we're really looking at health beyond your physical health, what we think of when we hear that word, beyond. So we look at physical, we look at behavioral health, which is mental health and substance use. We look at oral health. And then we also look at those social needs, because we know that that is what actually impacts a bigger part of your health than just going to the doctor. And so we were started initially informally just as an organization to bring together some of these groups, and it's grown quite a bit. But in the beginning, there were a few groups that started together. There was an issue with having prenatal care for low-income women in the mid to upper valley. The solution came about at the time Community Health Services acted as the public health agency for Pitkin County, and it was doing all the public health nursing responsibilities. And so we were able to form a partnership with the hospital, Aspen Valley Hospital, and with some of the local pediatric, the local OBGYN community to set up prenatal care for those women. And so since then, they've always had a place where they can receive that care. And from that process, it was realized, wow, we can really come up with some awesome solutions if we're having those conversations. Sure. And so
there are a lot of barriers to finding good health care in this valley in particular, and in the Western Slope, I would say. A lot of what you talk about is exactly what we're trying to address through the AmeriCorps Vista Project in terms of addressing poverty, poverty of opportunity, poverty of health, poverty of social engagement, I think is absolutely something that our Vista volunteers are aware of when they're going out into the community. So how can people learn more about the services that you all are starting to put together?
So we're really working at a systems level. Mm-hmm. So our primary people that we work with are the clinics and the community organizations and the government. And so we're not necessarily doing direct level services, but what we're doing is underneath some of the things happening. Some people may have noticed if they go to, we have 10 clinics across the counties that we serve, which is Eagle, Garfield, and Pitkin, and mm-hmm. and Summit counties. Okay. And if you go to certain clinics and you you may be asked a question about your needs around housing, food, transportation. You may be asked about whether you're feeling isolated, whether you have any utilities, and also, you know, just any needs in those areas. And with that information, the doctors are really asking that question not to, you know, be nosy.
Sure.
But to really say, like, we understand that what's affecting you health-wise isn't just you know, your physical health or even your mental health, but it's also like what other stressors are happening to you.
Sure.
And those financial stressors, all of those things, for example, a majority of people in our valley actually pay 30% or more than 30% for their housing.
Right.
And that means you're cost burdened. Some people pay more than 60%. That means you're severely cost burdened. That means you have less money for food. You have less money for recreation or getting outside. You have less money for all of these things. And so it really does create a situation where you are dealing with poverty. We got an opportunity to do a cost of poverty healthcare experience. And what this is it's like being in the shoes of individuals, and some of us may have experienced it and other people are currently experiencing it, where you have to make a decision between, do I pay my rent? Do I buy my prescription that I need badly? Or what do I do? Do I find that job I need? So it's really creating a better system. And I think what is different is that there is a shift with healthcare to really look at the whole person. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's starting to happen. There's still challenges because we know access is an issue.
Sure.
We know that cost is a huge issue and a barrier here in our valley. And, you know, what we're trying to get across is that if you do your wellness appointments and you deal with things when the issue's small,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have much less cost than if you wait until it becomes a crisis and you show up at the ER. And so really, but the truth is, you may not know this, but there's a lot of healthcare people out there that truly do care about what's happening to you.
Sure.
And what you're dealing with in your life.
Definitely. So you talked about Mountain Family. Are those the primary clinics right now that you all are working out of?
That's a great question. Mountain Family Health Centers has been awesome. They were the first ones to test out this new screener for us in Basalt. Okay. And now they've opened this new awesome Basalt clinic, which if people haven't been there, they should go check it out. And so, yes, they're some of the primary. But like I said, we're working with 10 different organizations, all three hospitals. So we have Aspen Valley Hospital, Grand River Hospital, Valley View Hospital, Glenwood Medical Associates, Castle Valley Children's Clinic is doing the screening. And it is primarily happening with those who have Medicaid because it is a grant-funded project. But clinics eventually, when they get to the point where they're ready, they could ask anyone because we know that the needs are beyond just those who have Medicaid. So it's really, it's a starting point. The other thing that we're trying to do is build a case of support and really move forward with trying to have some supportive housing in this rural region. Mm-hmm. Permanent supportive housing is a project that's been happening in a lot of larger cities around the country. And essentially what it is it's affordable housing that also comes with services on site or easily delivered so that it makes the barrier to receiving those services that can make the difference for that person dealing with their health issue, whether it's behavioral health or some sort of chronic medical issue. They can deal with that, but also get the other pieces taken care of so that they can possibly go back to work and they can start making, you know, be able to move forward in their lives in the way that's appropriate. And so we're really working on that project and trying to find solutions that will work for a rural area that when you look at it from the urban perspective, there's some easier ways to make it happen financing wise. Here we have some additional challenges of our construction costs are 30% higher than even Denver, which is decently high as well. And so we have some real challenges, but we're looking for help in terms of thinking of how to do this creatively, because we really feel that giving people a chance to be housed and have the services is going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, I know we had talked about developments where perhaps there were more mental health services available for folks who had that as an identified need. Are these surveys being conducted verbally, or is it something that the patients are having to fill out on their own?
Great question. It kind of depends on the clinic. A lot of them are doing it via paper. Some are using an iPad that the patient fills out. Others are asking directly, but that's usually more of a place like, for example, Valley View Hospital, their care transitions department asks the questions verbally and then they take down the answer, but they also have more time to spend with patients and they're preparing a care plan for them as they get out of being in the hospital as a patient. And so oftentimes the patient's actually taking it themselves. And then once they do, if they show up having any needs, then they're given a list of resources. You know, we do have a resource-rich place here. Mm-hmm. We don't have all the answers, and especially when something more intractable like housing. But there are some options to start trying to deal with that. And specifically, like if your need is food, we're going to be able to find a way to get people food. And that's so important and so, you know, to me, so basic. Some of the people who fit certain criteria, if they've been to the ER two or more times, and they have even one social need, they will be referred to care coordination, which people will say, what does that mean? Basically, it means you'll actually have someone to talk to you and sit down with you and really work with you to deal with the issues that you're having. So they would actually maybe take you to the office where you could sign up for SNAP, for example, which is like a food benefit from the government, or they would take you to the housing authority so that you could find out what you might qualify for. So there's some really cool things happening, and that's really what we want to do more and more of. The challenge is always getting the funding to be able to offer that next level of service.
So tell me a little bit more about the funding for your organization? What does that look like? And I guess, how can people help if that's something you all are looking for?
Yeah. So we're primarily funded by grants. We have some federal grants. We have some local community grants. We also, our board of directors, which is an amazing board. I have a board of directors of decision makers and leaders, all of who work in the healthcare space, health, social service space. And so that's, you know, each of those organizations pays dues. And it's really just a show of faith to say, hey, we're going to really work together on these things. And it's just a way to kind of cement that relationship. And then, like I said, primarily we've had grants and some that have come and gone, but we're always looking for new ones. We also, in the future, may look for some, you know, sponsorship opportunities and various things. And but we're really focused on continuing our efforts. And one of the reasons I was happy to do this interview with you, Tracy, is because, you know, a lot of people don't know about us because we are more internally focused with the organizations, but we want people to know that we're here. We're doing some things that are going to, in the long term, impact the healthcare system, which we know is very much not working, you know, as well as it could. There's a lot of room for growth. The one thing that's exciting is healthcare is shifting. There is some movement away from fee-for-service to value-based care, which means that if you keep people healthy, you will have more money coming into the health system. You'll also, and so there's a lot of things happening. It's just that these kind of transformation and this efforts, they take a long time to happen. Sure. But it used to be we didn't have very many clinics that had physical and behavioral health professionals. And now we have Mountain Family and Mind Springs Health, Roaring Fork Family Practice. Many of them now have a behavioral health professional on site so that there's that immediate help received.
Sure. Well, and as an early childhood interventionist, working for Mountain Valley Developmental Services, I am increasingly hearing of families who are getting increased support for children who might have autism spectrum disorders or need other behavioral counseling. So it's exciting to hear about those shifts in healthcare. Can you tell me a little bit more? I'm just curious about your, where you're hoping to see your organization a year from now, 5 years from now. Where are we all really headed with this?
That's a great question. I was recently fortunate enough to attend some of the Aspen Ideas Health presentations. Mountain Family Health Centers was fortunate to receive some guest passes that we were able to access. And one of the things that we talked about was really respect and trust. Mm-hmm. There were some people, and talking about creating a system where instead of always focused on, so this is what's wrong with you, right, this is what you're experiencing. One doctor who works around population health, which is the whole idea of creating health for all, his wife is a teacher. And so she started making calls directly to the parents when a student was doing well, not just when they were having challenges. And he said, well, how could I turn that around for my patients? So he started calling when something came back great, like someone's blood work was great. He started calling to let them know in person. And he said, you know, there's no fee that I get for making those calls. Sure. But it's the right thing to do, and it's building that relationship. My hope is that we're moving towards a system where people will have more trusting relationships with healthcare providers, where they would be able to feel comfortable working together with them, and where the healthcare provider doesn't feel like they have to get you in and out of the room. as quickly. And where we all can say, you know, wow, we really helped this person, or I got the help I needed on whatever piece that you're dealing with. And so that's really, like, for us, it's like, and creating a system where it's easy to figure out where to go to get the help you need, where everyone has some sort of health insurance or coverage or something where it's not going to break the bank if they do have a major healthcare problem.
Fearful.
Yeah. And no fear. I mean, we have a current climate where our immigrant population, who I think bring so much to our community, are fearful to take advantage of things that they could, because there's a fear that they, you know, could be deported. And that's not what it's about. It's about, we're about health for all residents, and we need to. So one of the other things we do is advocacy around issues, and really, so we do advocacy. We look at how we can increase access. This past year, we were able to sign up 8, maybe 9 new behavioral health providers who were private practice to accept Medicaid for people. And that's huge, because everyone needs a choice if they need to see someone. And so that was another cool thing that happened. We've seen, we've also done some alignment where we're working with some of the state programs, like the Hospital Transformation Program, and another program that handles the behavioral health dollars, the Regional Accountable Entity for our region, which is run by Rocky Mountain Health Plans. We help do some goal setting as counties and as the region with them. And so we're really trying to look at how do we continue to do the things underneath sort of the foundation and some of the infrastructure to make it better for each time a person enters the healthcare system, so that they can feel supported and get the help they need.
Great. It's really exciting, the work that you're doing. The partnership with United Way, I think, is very fitting, and I'm excited that you all are going to have an opportunity to have a volunteer. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that volunteer will be helping your organization build capacity?
Okay, definitely. Our volunteer, she just finished her undergrad, and she's taking a year off before she goes to medical school. And so I'm super excited to have someone of that caliber who is going to get a chance to look at a full health system before she becomes a physician, because she's going to be able to see how it works at all levels. And I think that's what we're moving toward, in the sense that we need people that understand the spectrum of what's happening in healthcare. And so specifically, she will be helping us to look at what we want to measure to show success with our Thriving Colorado dashboard. She will be helping with some grant writing and fundraising, and she'll also be helping to really get the word out through some social media type efforts. And she'll be getting a chance to just kind of connect the dots of the health system we have in this region. And so we're super excited, and we're thankful for United Way for taking on that role, because one of our biggest challenges is having enough staffing. And sure. So this builds capacity and sustainability.
That's wonderful. Well, Christina, I want to thank you again for joining me today. And I'm excited to hear about your work in the future. Thanks again. Oh, why don't you share your website with folks real quick?
Absolutely. So to learn more about us, go to westmountainhealthalliance.org. Again, westmountainhealthalliance.org. Thanks.
And if you want more information about United Way Battlement to the Bells, you can visit unitedwaybb.org. Thanks again. Have a good day.